Tonight, as the race for gold heats up, the surprise invitation from North Korea to the South, while the U.S. maintains a hard line toward Kim Jong-un and the father of a young American who died just days after North Korea released him, speaks out in our exclusive interview. President Trump speaking up now for two White House aides accused of domestic abuse, resigning in a cloud of controversy. A major drug company, the maker of OxyContin, announces a big pullback in the marketing of its opioid drugs, saying it will no longer promote them to doctors. And the American speed skating sensation making history as she races in pursuit of gold.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. With competition underway here in Pyeongchang, there has been a major development of the Olympics diplomacy between North and South Korea. An offer to South Korea's president to travel to North Korea for a face-to-face meeting with Kim Jong-un. The invitation made by Kim's sister potentially complicates Washington's role as the U.S. works to further isolate North Korea over its nuclear program. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has details along with highlights of a big day here at the Olympics.
The race for gold, flying into high gear.
Great jump for Bicker.
Saturday, Vice President Mike Pence cheered on Team USA. Following the opening ceremony, where he was seated just feet from the North Korean delegation.
Korea.
After the two Koreas marched together, Kim Jong-un's sister extended a rare invitation to South Korea's President Moon to visit the North. Moon expressed his willingness to go under the right conditions. Pence's tough talk against the North overshadowed by the historic images of the two Koreas here competing as North Korean fans wave their flags.
The history begins.
At the Unified Korean Hockey Game, Kim Yo-jong was in the stands. This North Korean athlete says, "It was the greatest honor for me." The team lost to Switzerland, but their unity, a golden moment.
He wins gold for
the host country, topping the podium in the men's 1500-meter short track. As for the Americans, slopestyle snowboarder Red Gerard is advancing to the finals. Two-time Olympian and reigning world slalom champion Michaela Schifrin is getting ready to race Sunday.
How much pressure do you feel to medal?
I don't feel pressure to medal. For me, the expectations come more from myself.
The frigid weather has long been a concern, but tonight it's the whipping winds causing problems. The men's downhill, a medal event, has been postponed. Lester, the weather just too dangerous for those athletes to compete.
All right, Miguel Almaguer. Miguel, thank you. And as North Korea tries to offer a new face to the world here in Pyeongchang, the father of an American who died after being imprisoned in North Korea has come here to offer a reality check. Fred Warmbier is a part of the official American Olympic delegation invited by Vice President Pence, and he sat down with me for an exclusive interview about what he wants the world to know about his son Otto and the regime he says took his life.
North Korea tries to paralyze people with fear.
Fred Warmbier says he didn't come to the Olympics to confront the North Korean delegation, but to stand as a counterpoint to the regime's abuses and to heal.
It's been inspiring to visit South Korea, to experience the spirit of the Olympics, and it's close to where, you know, Otto's life was basically changed forever. And so that has meaning, too. And when we heard North Korea was going to be here, we felt compelled to show up here at the Olympics.
Was it difficult to look and see the sister of Kim Jong-un waving and enjoying the moment?
No, she's in the Kim family. We have to put this in context in the spirit of the Olympics. Their athletes are not exchanging ideas and with other athletes in the Olympic Village or really participating. So that's a political statement, and this is not political for me.
Otto was with a tour group when he was arrested in 2016, tried and sentenced to 15 years for stealing a propaganda poster. After 17 months in prison, he was released on what North Korean officials called humanitarian grounds. The college student arrived home in a vegetative state and died 6 days later. But the cause of his brain damage was never officially determined. His father believes it was torture.
What civilized country does this? I'm telling the truth about the regime's treatment of my son. But guess what? They do this to countless other people. This is standing up and being the voice of Otto.
It was less than 2 weeks ago Warm Beer and his wife received a sustained applause at the State of the Union speech.
What was that moment like for you?
It was a whole range of emotions that night, the anger, the despair, but it ended with this feeling of love.
And he reminds the world that there are three other Americans currently held in North Korea. Warm Beer thinking about them this week as he met with North Korean defectors.
Did you feel a connection with them?
I do, and it's sad, but I do. I paid a steep price for that connection, and it didn't have to happen this way. Kim did not have to treat Otto this way. But what this did is this is the true character of the Kim regime, their treatment of Otto.
Mr. Warm Beer told me he was deeply touched when a North Korean defector who also attended the State of the Union address told him that he had recently visited Otto's grave in Ohio. Mr. Warm Beer told me that to him, that is the true spirit of the North Korean people, despite their leader. Back in the U.S., a big retreat tonight by a drug company accused of helping to fuel the opioid crisis. Purdue Pharma, the maker of the world's top-selling painkiller OxyContin, says it is pulling back its sales efforts. We get the details from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Today's announcement by Purdue Pharmaceuticals is a major shift in the battle against the opioid epidemic. The company says it's cutting its sales force in half and promising to no longer promote its opioid drugs with visits to doctors' offices.
We have to prevent more people from becoming opioid addicted. That requires much more cautious prescribing.
OxyContin was once hailed as a breakthrough for chronic pain. But many recovering addicts like Heath Johnson now say painkillers are a pathway to addiction.
I mean, it was one thing, the overprescribing of opioids, I mean, has to stop.
The announcement comes as the company faces a rash of lawsuits, many of which claim its sales practices are partially responsible for sparking the current opioid epidemic. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
There is new tension in the Middle East tonight after Israel launched an attack on an Iranian military facility inside Syria. In response, an Israeli jet came under fire, forcing its pilots to bail out. We get the latest from NBC's Lucy Kafanoff.
The burning wreckage of an Israeli F-16, just moments after crashing while under anti-aircraft fire. Israel says the plane was returning Saturday morning from a raid inside Syria. Both pilots managed to eject and land in Israel. They were taken to a military hospital, one said to be seriously wounded. Their target, an Iranian military facility, which Israel says launched a drone into the Israeli-held Golan Heights.
This morning, Iran brazenly violated Israel's sovereignty. They dispatched an Iranian drone from Syrian territory into Israel.
Israel shot down the drone. Later, after the jet crashed, Israel launched strikes on a dozen targets in Syria. Syria says the drone was engaged in anti-ISIS operations inside its own borders. Iran called the accusation, quote, ridiculous. Today isn't the first time Israel launched strikes in Syria, but it could represent a dramatic new escalation in the region. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News.
President Trump had more sympathetic words today, this time on Twitter, for two White House aides who resigned this week after allegations of domestic abuse. NBC's Kelly O'Donnell has that story for us.
After two White House employees were forced out this week over allegations of domestic abuse they each deny, today President Trump took sides, advocating for the accused, but not the accuser. People's lives are being shattered and destroyed by a mere allegation. There is no recovery for someone falsely accused. Senior aide Rob Porter and speechwriter David Sorensen both resigned after media reports exposed allegations of physical and emotional abuse made by their former wives during FBI background checks. Today, President Trump did concede broadly that some allegations are true, but Friday he emphasized support for Porter.
He says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Today, Democratic Senator Patty Murray drew her own line to the Me Too movement, saying she would back women, trusting them even if the president won't. handling of the West Wing crisis put Chief of Staff John Kelly's management under scrutiny. Administration sources tell NBC News the president has been critical of Kelly's leadership. But former Chief of Staff Reince Priebus said the president did not undercut Kelly when he spoke to him.
No, the president's never complained to me about General Kelly. And on top of it, I would never, number one, he didn't do that. But number two, I would never bring up such a subject.
And Lester, President Trump sparked more fire from Democrats. He decided not to declassify their Russia investigation memo, sending it back to the Intelligence Committee. But last week, the president did declassify a Republican memo over FBI objections. Republicans claim high-level Justice Department officials showed partisan bias when they asked the FISA court to authorize surveillance on a Trump campaign aide. Democrats say that's not true.
We welcome any changes to the Democratic memo that are free from political edits. But right now, we know this president will take any step necessary to obstruct this investigation.
And today, the president suggested Democrats intentionally included sensitive information in order to blame him for not making their memo public. Lester?
Kelly O'Donnell at the White House tonight. Thank you. There is a manhunt going on tonight in Las Vegas for a possible serial killer who shot four men in recent days, killing two of them. It appears he may be targeting members of that city's homeless population. NBC's Matt Bradley is there and has this report.
A savage murder caught on camera. James Lewis, a homeless man, shot execution style.
What did my dad do to you to deserve to die like that?
Anita lost touch with her father, a Vietnam veteran, nearly two decades ago.
That just hurts. It hurts that whoever's doing this has no regard for anybody's life.
Her father, the fourth victim in a five-day rampage.
This man is armed and dangerous, and he is targeting our homeless.
The first shooting was just after midnight on January 29th at a grocery store. Hours later, two more shootings, one fatal, in downtown Las Vegas. 4 days after that, Anita Baker's father was killed nearby.
Right now, we believe this person to be a spree killer. In essence, he's committing these crimes without any emotional cooling off period in between that you'd normally see with a serial killer.
Las Vegas has one of the largest homeless populations in the country.
In encampments like this one, just blocks from the Vegas Strip, where many are now living in fear.
Tammy LaPointe says she and others at this camp are standing guard.
We take turns. We're all rotating. And we get tired and cranky. We're still frightened.
Anita worries that homeless victims like her father will be forgotten.
The homeless, they're just like us, but just they don't have nothing.
A community with very little, living in fear. Matt Bradley, NBC News, Las Vegas.
And in Ohio today, two police officers were shot to death while responding to a 911 call. It happened in Westerville, Ohio, a suburb of Columbus. Officials said the officers were shot after entering a residence to deal with what was described as a potential domestic situation. They say a suspect is in custody. Tributes are being paid tonight to an actor who was a familiar face on many top TV dramas. Reg E. Kathy won an Emmy for his role on House of Cards on Netflix, playing the owner of a barbecue shack frequented by the future president. Kathy also played a professional political operative on The Wire on HBO. He had a recurring role in the prison drama Oz, also on HBO, and made many appearances on Law and Order on NBC. Reggie Cathy was 59 years old. Still ahead tonight, how man's best friend is helping humans conquer cancer. Fascinating similarities between us and them. We're back with medical news and an intriguing question. Could man's best friend hold a key to curing cancer? Our medical correspondent, Dr. John Torres, has details.
Emily Brown was 11 years old when doctors told her she had 3 months to live.
It was tough going to bed at night because you never know. Am I going to wake up in the morning?
Bone cancer had spread from her ribs and spine to her lungs. Her last hope? An experimental drug. But it wasn't created for humans. It was a cancer drug for dogs.
I didn't even think dogs got cancer.
Good boy.
Cancer is so common in dogs that doctors are studying them as a model for treating the disease in humans.
When they get these cancers, they're identical to people.
at every level,
including breast and prostate cancer and melanoma. Humans and dogs are 95% identical genetically, especially when it comes to their immune systems.
There's something like 400 to 500 diseases that are genetically based that are common.
Right now, 20 major medical centers are conducting clinical trials of drugs that could cure cancer in dogs. If those studies are successful, the drugs will then be tested in humans. At least 4 drugs have made it to human trials. Scientists are also studying 3,000 golden retrievers, the breed with the highest rate of cancer. The dogs are being followed from birth to death.
We'll be able to have 3,000 stories about where each dog went, what they ate, where they slept, how they interacted with their owners.
Could dogs be the answer to cancers in humans?
Well, I would like to think so.
So would Emily Brown. Thanks to that experimental drug, her tumors disappeared. 20 years later, her lungs don't function 100%, but she's cancer-free. Her bond with her dog, Gertrude, unbreakable.
It's crazy. A dog saved my life.
Man's best friend, now also a lifesaver. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Some intriguing possibilities there. Coming up next, sliding toward cold will take you inside the curling trails now underway at these Olympic Games. Here in Pyeongchang, a pair of siblings from Wisconsin are living out their Olympic dreams together. From a young age, Matt and Becca Hamilton both caught the curling bug. And as our Kevin Tibbles reports, it seems to be contagious. A lot of fans back home are also getting swept up in the action.
This is the final stone for Becca and Matt Hamilton.
The dynamic brother and sister duo of Becca and Matt Hamilton was born to curl.
Go, 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 go.
True Wisconsinites, the Hamiltons have been on a roll since childhood. After trying their hand in the new mixed doubles event together, they'll go on to compete with the men's and women's teams.
We knew this is a sport that we could be good at as long as we could communicate and not
kill each other.
Not kill each other on the ice.
The stone, a 40-pound polished hunk of granite, is sent sliding down a sheet of ice towards the target. As in shuffleboard, the closest to the center wins the points. It's called curling because stones spin and curl as they slide into position. Players control them by sweeping in front of the rock. Throwers direct the sweepers by yelling commands.
Better sweep! Sweep!
And they can be quite bossy.
Hurry!
Go, Kevin! Come on, lean on it!
Curling has become so popular there are clubs in 47 states, from athletic clubs to bars. These chilly Chicagoans have caught the bug.
It's going to be cold regardless, so why wouldn't you make the best of it?
Kaiser Tiger owner Pat Berger wants us all to sip, slip, and slide.
Do you think that you're doing your part to turn this into a curling nation?
I'm trying, you know, one curler at a time.
If you build it, they will come.
They will, just like Kevin Costner said, yes.
Kevin Tibbles said it, but it's a good second.
And why not? Curling rocks.
USA!
Kevin Tibbles, NBC News. Chicago.
And no correspondent is better with a broom than Tibbles. When we come back, a young American who's bringing a real golden glow to these Winter Olympics and breaking new ground in this sport. Finally tonight, a young American who made her Olympic debut with breathtaking speed today is also making history in the process. With her winning personality, she's already a big hit, and today she advanced to the next round in short track. Here's NBC's Joe Fryer.
A bowling alley is a lousy place to measure speed skater Mame Biney's athletic skill, but a perfect spot to witness her infectious spirit. Mame seems to laugh nearly as often as she breathes.
I suppose the one time you're not laughing and smiling
is when I'm skating. I look like I'm about to kill someone. There's like another personality on the ice.
At 18 years old, Mame has become a speed skating star, the first African-American woman to ever make the U.S. Olympic short track team.
Ah, the speed. I love the speed.
Born in Ghana, she came to America when she was 5, settling in Virginia with her father, Kwaku. One day, they spotted a sign for ice skating lessons, which surprisingly caught Mame's interest.
There's no ice in Ghana. To me, the only thing cold there is the ice cold beer.
Soon, Mame's coach determined she was too fast for figure skating she made a switch.
Can you picture yourself figure skating right now?
No.
Why not?
Because these thighs are not meant for figure skaters. They are for speed skaters.
Last year, Mame moved to Utah, living with a host family so she could train with the best. All of it leading to the Olympic trials in December, where in the 500-meter race, Mame jumped to a quick lead and never lost it.
Crushing the field, and she is going to the Olympic Games.
I was like, holy cow, I'm going to Korea. And I started cheering and cheering, and then I fell. That was an awesome moment.
In the stands, her father, who took time away from his job as a maintenance worker, holding a sign that read, "Kick some hiney, biney."
He's the best thing since sliced bread. He's sacrificed so much for me.
Like Mame, Kwaku is usually smiling too, until he starts talking about the Sorensens.
You know, this journey wouldn't be complete without them.
The host family that has given Mame a second home.
It's just a beautiful thing. The color doesn't matter. Anytime I think about it, I cry.
They are, of course, tears of joy for his daughter, who's as happy as she is fast. Jill Fryer, NBC News, Salt Lake City.
And NBC's primetime coverage of the Olympics begins right here at 8 Eastern. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Saturday night. I'm Lester Holt, and for all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching, and good night.